ISKCON, Pandra Acharya, Anant Koti Vaishnavrinda ki. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada ki jai ho. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakai Chakshur Unlitanena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadhati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Shita Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padanu Sahagana Sri Lalita Sri Vishakhavitam Sya E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Sri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriya Vanchakalpatarubhasya Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namunamaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vashadi Gaur Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 12 Chapter 3 Text 43 The Bhumi Gita Kalau Na Rajan Jagatam Param Gurum Trilokanathana Padapankajam Prayana Martya Bhagavantam Achyutam Yakshyanti Pashanda Vibhina Chetasaha Kalau Narajan Jagatam Param Gurum Trilokanathanata Padapankajam Prayana Martya Bhagavantam Achyutam Yakshanti Pashanda Vibhina Chetasaha Kalau Narajan Jagatam Param Gurum Trilokanathanata Padapankajam Prayana Martya Bhagavantam Achyutam Yakshanti Pashanda Vibhina Chetasaha Kalau Narajan Jagatam Param Gurum Trilokanathanata Padapankajam Prayana Martya Bhagavantam Achyutam Yakshyanti Pashanda Vibhina Chetasaha
Kalau Narajan Jagatam Param
Vaishnavis, please. Kalau, in the age of Kali, na, not, Rajan, O King, Jagatam, of the universe, Param, the Supreme, Gurum, spiritual master, Trilok, of the three worlds, Natha, by the various masters, Anata, bow down to Pada Pankajam, whose lotus feet, Prayana, for the most part, Martya, human beings, Bhagavantam, the personality of Godhead, Achyutam, Lord Achyuta, Yakshyanti, they will offer sacrifice. Pashand by atheism, Vibhinna diverted, Chetasaha their intelligence. Purport and translation by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. This purport is big purport, and what I will do is, instead of reading whole purport, I will go point by point, okay? And it's very technical also. This language is very high in this purport by the scholars, probably Ridhanand Maharaj. Translation. O King, in the age of Kali, people's intelligence will be diverted by atheism, and they will almost never offer sacrifice to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the supreme spiritual master of the universe. Although the great personalities who control the three worlds all bow down to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, the petty and miserable human beings of this age will not do so. Let's pass the Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in commentary. He is saying that after the first sandhya of Kali has passed, the bad habits become very great. This is explaining these two verses. So this verse and the next verse. Now what is sandhya? That was first question I had when I read this purport, Sri Vaishnava Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. And it is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 3, I think. And the text 29, it is explained what is sandhya. Because its point is here, it says that after the first sandhya of Kali has passed, the bad habits become very great. So the sandhya here is described as it breaks down, as according to astronomical calculation, it breaks down into 12 parts. Divided into 12 parts. One sandhya, second like that. Pratham sandhya, and then, here is our astronomical, here he is. He can tell us. Huh? So there is 12 sandhya. First is called the Pratham sandhya. There are divided into 12. And the last one is the Shesha. So, yeah. And Shesha sandhya. So, it says that the the Pratham Sandhya, according to Surya Siddhanta, the Pratham Sandhya of Kali Yuga lasts 36,000 solar years. So there are 12 Sandhya, 36,000 times 12. And the solar year, according to what I got, probably Vedic might be different, it says that the period of time required for Earth to make one complete revolution around the Sun is called, they call the one solar year. So, Lord Chaitanya appeared, appeared in the Pratham Sandhya after 4,586 years, solar years of Kali Yuga had passed. So this, all this, why it is Srila Chakravarti Thakur writing? Because this become prominent, this atheism and whole philosophy. But of course then Lord Chaitanya appeared to eradicate all this atheism by the Sankirtan movement, Yuga Dharma. So, we're going to have interaction today, back and forth with this audience here. So let's read the purport here. The impulse to find the absolute truth, the source of all existence, has motivated philosophers, theologians and other intellectuals of various persuasions since time immemorial and continue to do today. Yeah, so it is instinct to find, you know, there is higher source than us. There is something higher. So that instinct is there within the human being to find. So what happens? However, soberly analyzing the ever-increasing plurality of so-called philosophies, religions, paths, ways of life and so on, we find that in almost all cases, the ultimate objective is something impersonal or formless. So this is what philosophers try to do. No existence, atheism, no existence of the Lord, means, what is that? No existence of the Lord means, ultimately, I am the Lord. And the extreme atheism is the japa, what is called? Yatamat tatapat. Anything you worship, anything you like, you do it. But that is a hidden motive. Ultimately, hidden motive is to be, I am the Lord. Everybody is the Lord, I am also Lord. That is atheism. And then it comes to the impersonalism, and impersonalism here means Lord has no form. So atheism, Lord has no form, means nobody. Lord has no form, but at the same time, he's described here, there is cause and effect. Where there is cause, there is effect. Let's read it. But this idea of an impersonal or formless absolute truth has serious logical flaws. He is interested. He says, Maharaj, you are very expert in logically, you know, debate. You know. According to ordinary rules of logic, a particular effect should directly or indirectly embody the attributes or nature of its own cause. Thus, that which has no personality or activity could hardly be the source of our personality or activities. So that means, I mean, we have the personality, right? If you take example of the accountant, accountant is good with mathematics. That is his personality. That's what he does. That's he's accorded that personality. He acts, he behaves. So we have the personality, but here it says that Lord has no personality. So means Lord has a no form and no personality. This is what they establish in the material world at present, in the Kali Yuga. Okay? Our irrepressible proclivity to philosophize about the ultimate truth often expresses itself through philosophical, scientific and mystical attempts to discover that from which everything emanates. So we want to know everything emanates from where, we want to discover. But this, it is like nothing, it's just everything is happening by chance, nothing, there is no one to control, there is no one is ruling. Everything is happening by chance. This material world, which is seemingly limitless network of interactive causes and effects, is certainly not the absolute truth, since scientific observation of material elements indicates that the stuff of this world, material energy, is endlessly transforming into different states and shapes. Therefore, one particular instance of material reality cannot be the ultimate source of all things. Okay? We're gonna go on. We may speculate that matter in some shape or other has always existed. This theory, however, is no longer attractive to modern cosmologists. Cosmologists are the people who study the universe. Study the universe. These are cosmologists. Such as those are the message. This is about, he's talking about MIT in the Boston. Yes. And even if we do posit, means even if we accept that matter has always existed, we still must explain that the source of consciousness, if we want to satisfy our philosophical impulse toward discovering the absolute truth. Although modern empirical fanatics state that nothing is real except matter, everyone commonly experiences that consciousness is not the same kind of substance as a stone, a pencil, or water. Did we get it? I didn't get it completely. Anyhow, awareness of itself in contradistinction to the object of awareness is not a physical entity, but rather a process of perception and understanding. Why there is ample evidence of a systematic interdependent relationship between matter and consciousness, there is no rigid empirical evidence whatsoever that matter is the cause of consciousness. Matter is not the cause of consciousness. Light comes from life. Light? You give all the ingredients, Srila Prabhupada always to say here to Srila Sarvadhamma, here give the ingredients to all the scientists. Can they produce a living entity? No. So there is a constant, matter is a dead. Matter keep changing. The shape and everything is keep changing. We came from the earth, we're gonna go in the earth. It says, right? That's what it says. Right? So is the consciousness which is behind, which is acting, the matter is a dull. So it's because of the consciousness. It's happening. Okay? Thus the theory that the material world has always existed and is therefore the ultimate truth does not scientifically or even intuitively explain the source of consciousness, which is the most fundamentally real aspect of our existence. Because of the consciousness we are existing, otherwise it's a dull matter. Furthermore, okay, now here is a Sadhuta Prabhu, I think. As demonstrated by Dr. Richard Thompson, Sadhuta, right? Okay. They are in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Of the State University of New York at Binghamton and confirmed by several Nobel laureates in physics, we have praised his work, The Laws of Nature Governing the Transformation of Matter, simply do not contain sufficiently complex information to account for the inconceivable complexity of events taking place within our own bodies and those of other lives. So this, I mean, it's common sense. We don't know what the heck is happening in our own body, we can figure it out. Right? We can't figure it out how the body works. So we cannot figure out our own body how it works, how can we figure out the house, you know, without the, I mean, someone else's. There is some higher personality is there. Right? In other words, not only do the material laws of nature fail to account for the existence of consciousness, but they cannot explain even the interaction of material elements at complex organic levels. Even Socrates, the first great Western philosopher, was disgusted with the attempt to establish ultimate causality in terms of mechanistic principles. Yes. Okay, now here is coming. The heat and luminosity of the sun's rays demonstrate to the satisfaction of any rational man that the sun, the source of rays, is certainly light. Okay? It's certainly not a dark, cold globe, but rather a reservoir of almost unlimited light, heat and light. So the sun is, because it's from the sun, the heat and light is emanating, so sun also has a heat and light there. Sun is not just a cold, dark globe. It's emanating from him. That's why there is a sun, there is a heat and light we are surviving. So sun, point is the sun god is there. It's not the sun god, it's not just cold and dark. So similarly, point is that Krishna is not just impersonal. He has a Satchidananda form. And from him is the Brahman effulgence. And then is him, Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. Okay. Similarly, the innumerable instances of personality and personal consciousness within the creation are more than adequate to demonstrate their existence somewhere of an unlimited reservoir of consciousness and personal behavior. In his dialogue, okay, now someone else here, Greek philosopher, Philebus, the Greek philosopher, in his dialogue, Philebus, the Greek philosopher, Plato argued that just as the material elements in our body are derived from vast reservoir of material elements existing within the universe, our rational intelligence is also derived from a great cosmic intelligence existing within the universe. So this is the point. There is a higher intelligence. And this supreme intelligence is God, the Creator. Unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, many leading thinkers cannot understand this and instead deny that the absolute truth, the source of our personal consciousness, The source of our personal consciousness has consciousness and personality. This is as reasonable as saying that the sun is cold and dark. In Kali Yuga, many people present cheap stereotype arguments such as, if God has a body or personality, he would be limited. Yeah, you stupid. God has a body, but it doesn't have the body like us. You say he's unlimited. Satchidananda. In this inadequate attempt at logic, a qualified term is falsely presented in the universal sense. What really should be said if God has a material body or a material personality like those we have experienced, he would be limited. But God doesn't have a material body, Satchidananda. And he's unlimited. is infinite. But we leave out of the qualifying exactly material and make a pseudo-universal assertion, as if he understood the full range within total reality of bodies and personalities. Okay, now we come to Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam and other Vedic literatures teach that the transcendental form and personality of the Absolute Truth are unlimited. Right? Clearly, to be truly infinite, God must be not only quantitatively but also qualitatively infinite. Unfortunately, in our mechanistic industrial age, we tend to define infinite only as its quantitative sense, and thus we fail to notice that this is like a Dr. Frog in the well. Dr. Frog in the well, when he talk about the ocean, can't understand it. It's what is mentioned here, that they, because of our brain. Okay? We fail to notice that an infinite of personal qualities is a necessary aspect of infinity. In other words, God must have infinite beauty, infinite wealth, infinite intelligence, infinite humor, infinite kindness, infinite anger, and so on. Infinite is an absolute, and if anything we observe in this world is not contained somehow or other within our conception of the absolute, then that conception is of something limited and not of the absolute. Okay. Okay, now we're gonna have interaction here between us. Let's have interaction. Let me just read here, I guess. Ultimately he is coming, purport is nice, ultimately you take, you better take the shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Then you will understand. That's ultimately take the shelter. Only in Kali Yuga are these philosophers foolish enough to proudly define the most absolute of all terms, God in materialistic, relative ways, and then declare themselves enlightened thinkers. No matter how big our brain may be, we should have the common sense to place at the feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay, now let's talk about the here. Now we're going to Krishna book here from the Nectar of Devotion. Okay, the infinite beauty. Let's talk about infinite beauty of Krishna. We come here, we have darshan of the Radha Shyam Sundar. What we see, infinite beauty, what is it? What we see?
His beautiful smile and right. His
sidelong glances. Yes, go ahead.
Lotus eyes. Lotus eyes.
Yes.
Beautiful wavy hair. Lots of friends.
Lots of friends. Well, we have very noble beauty here.
His threefold bending
form. Threefold bending form. Okay, good.
Neck like a conch shell.
Good. What else?
Moon-like face.
Why Prana Govinda is quiet today? I don't understand. Well,
the beauty that the devotees perceive in the Lord.
Okay. Good. So I'm going to read what the Nectar of Devotion says. Krishna's face is as beautiful as the moon. Right? His thighs are powerful just like the trunk of an elephant. His thighs are, because he is holding. When the thighs are powerful, it can hold the universe. It can hold. Right? His arms are just like two pillars. What does that mean? He can embrace. He can embrace the devotee. His palms are expanded like lotus flowers. His palms, lotus flower, very kindness, giving lotus to the world. Very calm. His chest is just like a doorway. What does that mean? Someone can tell me? His doorway. His chest is just like a doorway. Shisha Prabhu, come on now, I mean, don't be quiet, you know.
He says broad.
Huh?
Broad.
His chest is broad.
Broad.
Like a door.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean, sir?
Open.
Yes, embrace, open. His hips are dense. What does that mean? Prana Govinda Prabhu, come on, speak up.
His hips are what? Dense?
What does that mean?
D-E-N-S.
What does that mean?
Means solid.
Is it? His hips are dense. Hmm? For protection?
Good for dancing.
For good for dancing? We don't want to speculate here.
Transcendence.
Huh? Transcendence. And his, and the middle of his body is a terrace. That's what interesting.
Courage.
Huh?
Courage is a
terrace. Up from the terrace you can see everything. Right? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Oh, that's terrace. I see. So this is about the beauty of the... Okay, now we're going to go to the... If you have something, please let me know, okay? Now we're going to have infinite wealth. That's easy, right? Infinite wealth. What is the example of infinite wealth? Huh? Besides that, so in Dwarka, right? 16,108 palaces, expanded 16,108 Krishnas. Right? So, yes. And he says he was not just living in the palaces, in 16,108 palaces, but he was giving charity every day when he was in Dwarka. And here he says that he was giving charity 13,054 cows, completely decorated with each Krishna. Huh? This means 13,054 multiplied by 16,108 cows he was giving charity every day.
To
Brahmanas. Millions of Brahmanas. You know Mother Yashoda, you know how many maid servants Mother Yashoda had? 1 million or something like that, maid servants she had. What 1 million? Made someone start doing. If I'm wrong, please correct me, Prana Govinda, you are here. Okay, thank you. No one can estimate the values of such large number of cows given in charity. Okay, now next one is, we have still have 10 minutes. Infinite intelligence. What is intelligence means, first of all? Anyone? Huh? Yeah, but here is Krishna's supreme intelligence. What is intelligence here? Huh? How is intelligence? Someone say, we say someone is intelligent. What does that mean?
His words.
Yeah. Sharp, here Srila Prabhupada is writing, of course. Sharp memory and fine discretion. Discretion?
Discretion.
Yeah. Yeah. So, sharp memory. What is the example of Krishna? That is, what is it? Okay, but give them Krishna's life. What was, yes, Prabhu. Okay, what else? When Krishna was in the Sandipani Muni school, whatever he learned, his teacher had to say and remember everything. That is the, okay, here it says, a man is called intelligent if he has a sharp memory and fine discretion. As far as Krishna's memory is concerned, it is said that when he was studying in the school of Sandipani Muni in Avantipur, he saw such a sharp memory that by once taking instruction from the teacher, he immediately became perfect in any subject. And how about the fine discretion of the example? Bhagavad Gita, what else? Which else? What else? Discretion means you differentiate, right? You find it. This. Sorry? Discretion means you discriminate, right? What need to be done at that time, at the right time, at the right place, what need to be done? That discretion. What is the example of that? Mm-hmm. One at a time, please. Okay. Okay, here is something Srila Prabhupada is saying. Kalyavan, untouchable. Demon came to fight. Krishna, I thought, I was in Mathura. Kalyavan attacked city of Mathura, right? He was untouchable. He is writing untouchable. So I had to find what is untouchable. Untouchable is Kalyavan. And what Krishna did? He brought him to the Muchukund. Remember? And Muchukund had a boon that he can sleep, but anybody touching him will wake up, and that from his eyes, because the effulgence will come, and the person who is there, it will be killed. So Krishna didn't want to kill this Kalyavan, so Krishna had him go in the cave where Muchukund was sleeping. That is the fine discretion. Okay? Yes, sir? Now is the infinite humor. This was tough to find it. Infinite humor. First I thought it was with Rukmini, but then it didn't. Yeah, with Rukmini he had a humor. Humor means, it says that to agree to someone's wishes in order to help improve that person's mood or to avoid upsetting him. Some, you know, it says, causing you to smile. When someone is humorous person, he talks, person is humorous, is causing you, you know, if you are in a bad mood, and that humorous person comes and he tells some nice thing, then, you know, it makes you smile. It's your, whatever your mood is gone. So what is in Krishna's? Where was it? Any example? There is no mic here, huh?
Hare Krishna. So when Nimai would hide the clothes of the brahmanas, I think that would be pretty funny.
Okay. That's Lord Chaitanya's. Yes.
When he had pastimes with his cohort boyfriends, they were always humorous and laughing, jumping, everything. When he was with the gopis, as soon as they see him, they're all happy all the time, smiling, so forth. Even with the Pandavas, as soon as they see Krishna, they're happy.
Okay. Here it says, Krishna one time came dressing as a lady. Krishna in the dress of a young girl told Radharani, he's coming to Radharani, dressing as a young girl. Oh, you hard-hearted girl, don't you know that I am your sister? Why are you unable to recognize me? Be merciful upon me and please capture my shoulder and embrace me with love. While Krishna was dressed up exactly like Radharani, he was speaking these nice words, and Radharani could understand his purpose. Okay, now I still have some time, isn't it? Okay, infinite kindness. That's easy, right? That's our word, infinite kindness. Draupadi. Who else? Gopja.
16,000 princesses, they couldn't go home.
Okay. What about who else? Fruit vendor.
The fruit vendor.
Yes, fruit lady. Gajendra. Okay.
He protected all the villagers of Vrindavan, protected from Indra's
thunderbolts and rain by lifting Govardhan Hill.
Mm.
So that was very kind of him to protect them from the rain and the wind.
Okay. Okay. Anyone else? Here it is said, kind to Bhishma. How was he kind to Bhishma? Bhishma was lying on the bed of hair, remember? And he wanted Krishna to come. He was waiting for Krishna to come. You know? Let me finish.
when Bhishma was on the bed of arrows, I think Krishna benedicted him that he wouldn't be disturbed by the arrows.
Yes. Bhishma was very anxious to see Krishna, and thus Krishna appeared there. Upon seeing the pitiable condition of Bhishma, Krishna began to speaking with tears in his eyes. Not only was he shedding tears, but he also forgot himself in his compassion. Therefore, instead of... Okay. Now, who else he was kind? Shishupal. Sorry? How was he kind to Shishupala?
He was also kind to his mother because he waited 100 times.
Well, let's talk about Shishupala first here. Oh. We're talking about Shishupala here. How was he kind to Shishupala? Shishupal was always in a habit of insulting Krishna, not only in one lifetime, but continually throughout three lives. Still, Krishna was so kind that he gave Shishupal the salvation of merging into his existence. Also, here is given the Krishna is kind even to offensive devotees. Boy, that's... I guess I have a chance to go then to Krishna, right?
The super soul that is in every... with the companies every year on their conditional sojourn never forgets him, he's always there with him. Even though they've turned away from him.
Okay. Here it is given about the kindness to the offensive devotees that this is Uddhava is saying. After the Samantak Jewel plunderer confirms that Krishna is so kind, you know all the story of Samantak Jewel, you know, and ultimately it confirmed that Krishna is kind. Krishna was not actually taken the Samantak Jewel. We know the story. So Krishna is so kind and favorable that if a servitor is accused even of a great offenses, Krishna does not take this into consideration. He simply considers the service that is rendered by his devotee. And this is very important. He is even kind to impersonalist. How is that? How is he kind to impersonalist? Yes.
Well, different impersonalists. He was kind to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He was kind
no, but Andres, why? What is? Don't give the example. How is he kind to impersonalist? Let's talk about that. How is he kind?
Because the impersonalists, they are at least thinking about God. They don't know what he looks like, but they're thinking about him.
Okay. Yes, Sridhar Muni Prabhu.
They want to become God, so he wants to merge into his
occultist.
Okay.
I mean, he fulfills the desires and gets
his salvation. He sent Srila Prabhupada to liberate all the ones in the Western world by his preaching Lord Chaitanya's message.
Okay.
He's very kind.
But we are talking about here in the Krishna's life. When they were infinite. We're talking about the Krishna's pastime here. All points are valid, but how is he? He is allowing them into merge into impersonal Brahman.
Yeah, but who are the impersonalists then? Let me identify them first. And then let me see who are the impersonalists at the time of Krishna? I mean, can you say any of them? Sukadeva Goswami was impersonalist at the beginning, but then, you know, he became devotee as well. Right, Prana?
Actually, let me, the impersonalists are enemies of God because they cannot tolerate the unparalleled opulence of the Lord. They try always to place themselves on the same level with the Lord. That is due to their envious attitude. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has proclaimed the impersonalists to be the offenders of the Lord. The Lord is so kind, however, that even though they are his enemies, they are still allowed to enter into into the spiritual kingdom and return in the impersonal and remain in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, the undifferentiated light of the Absolute. And the last one is infinite anger. What is the example of infinite anger in Krishna's life? Anyone?
In the battlefield.
Okay.
And he grabbed that chariot and took after him, even though he won out the fight. That was a serious anger there. I don't know if it was infinite, but it was heavy.
Lord Narasimhadev, okay. We're talking about Krishna's pastimes here, but that's valid. That's true. Kamsa. Bhishma, you already said. Yeah.
Anytime somebody was trying to hurt his devotees, he manifested that anger. It came out any time. It's always there.
Okay. Well, here it says that when Krishna showed the universal form to Arjuna, he was very, Arjuna saw the universal form and a ghastly form, so anger. And all his devouring everybody from the battle of Kurukshetra. Arjuna is seeing everybody, all the enemies. That was, Arjuna could not handle it. Let me finish, please. When Arjuna witnessed the universal form of Krishna, whose dazzling teeth were practically devouring the very existence of the universe, Arjuna's mouth became dried up. At that time, Arjuna forgot himself and could not understand that he was Arjuna, Krishna's friend, although he was always dependent upon Krishna's mercy. Yes, sir.
A question now. When you're saying that, what came into my mind...
Sorry?
Think of it as time is the unlimited anger of cuts. Everything is destroyed by that. Generally, we think of Lord Shiva as the destroyer of everything. And they ask in that same chapter, "Who are you?" He says, "Time, I am the destroyer of everything, the world." So, is that part of his unlimited, the time element?
Pranagandha Prabhu, you answer, please. Huh? What was I reading? This is from the Nectar of Devotion. Well, I understand that says Lord Chaitanya than Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, and I understand. But I was here going particularly from the Krishna's pastimes.
I know it's scary.
Any other questions, comments? Okay. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.